Good Friday evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us out there on Facebook Live for this time of devotion. We thank you for taking time out to join us on this Friday evening, and we hope that the words that are said today and the scripture that is read today and the devotion that is given today, that they touch you, that you apply them to your life, not just understand them and read them or recite them, but that you have application to your life. Before we go into the devotion today, we do have updated numbers on this COVID virus. As of 3:30 today, the CDC and the Virginia Department of Health were reporting, the CDC reported nationally, the total number of cases is now over a million. It's 1,062,446. And the total deaths from the virus nationwide are now over 62,000, at 62,406. In Virginia, the total cases are 16,901, and the total deaths from the COVID virus in the state of Virginia are 581, and that's as of 3:30 today. In Scott County, we've had 7 total cases. Was unable to get the number of active cases right now, but we've had 7 total cases in Scott County, and of course, 1 death from that. We do have prayer concerns tonight. First of all that are affected by this virus, not just in sickness, but financially, employment-wise. A lot of businesses are feeling the brunt. A lot of them have said that have been closed for a while and have just not able to overcome this. And when they close, then people are out of jobs and desperation sets in. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression going on right now with people, a whole lot of stress. And we just pray for everyone that's affected by this in whatever way they may be affected. I think we can safely say that every single person is affected in some way by this virus. So we certainly want to pray for those needs. We have specific prayer needs. Wilma Daniels has been asked, we've been asked to pray for her. Faye Hill, she is suffering with the virus, affected by it. And that's one of our church members' relatives. Wilma Daniels is one of our church members' mothers that was asked to be prayed for. Jimmy Lane also received a message today, prayer concern for Mr. Lane, so we certainly will remember him. And remember also, if you didn't get to join us on Easter for our drive-in service, there was another drive-in service that had been scheduled last week. The weather did not cooperate to allow us to do that, so we have rescheduled it for this Sunday, May 3rd at 11 a.m. Here at the church. You'll just come and park in our parking lot, maintain those social distancing standards and guidelines, and come out and worship with us from the safety of your car. And we certainly invite you to come and do that. That's this Sunday at 11 a.m. And you'll be able to hear the message loud and clearly. And so just from our parking lot. And we look forward to seeing you, even if it is through a car window. So keep that in mind. Before we go into our devotion tonight, we'd like to go to the Lord in prayer tonight, remembering these needs and many other needs. So if you'll pray with me. Father, we come to you on this Friday evening, Lord. We thank you for what you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do for us, Lord. We thank you that we know that on the other side of this crisis, Lord, that you'll still be God and that you'll still be in control of all things, Lord. Lord, we pray for the ones, Lord, that have submitted individual prayer requests, whatever their need may be tonight, Lord. We pray that you would touch them. You already know the situation before we even ask, Lord, but we do ask in your name that you would touch all of those situations, Lord. And Lord, we pray for everyone that's affected by this pandemic that's going on, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it seems like some of the numbers are either leveling off or not as terrible as they have been, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that things aren't any worse than they are. They can always be worse than they currently are, Lord. But we know that you're sovereign and you're in control, Lord. And we look to you for the answers, Lord. And we just pray that you would give the wisdom to those, Lord, who are researching, who are trying to come up with a cure, Lord, a remedy for this. We just pray that you would give them the knowledge, Lord, and the wisdom. We know that it comes from you, Lord, but that you would guide their minds and guide their hands, Lord, so that they could develop or come up with a remedy for this pandemic, Lord. And Lord, may we never forget our lost, Lord, the ones without you, the ones who don't know to turn to you, who won't turn to you, who deny turning to you, Lord. We just pray for them, Lord. We pray for our church family, Lord. We love and miss them. We miss the fellowship with them, Lord. We pray that you'll keep them safe through all of this and that one day soon you'll allow us to all be together again, Lord, if it be your will. We just love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. And in your name we pray. Amen. Turn this evening to the third chapter of Genesis. We're going to read about four verses in Genesis 3, and then we'll go on down and summarize some more in Genesis 3. But we all know the famous quote of the Bible that the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he certainly does work in mysterious ways. And this devotion or message, if you will, this actually came, was given to me while I was sitting in my living room watching a game show, and which I, if any of you that know me, I do quite often. And tonight's devotion, I guess if it had a title, it would be Choices or Let's Make a Deal. Before we go into our scripture reading, there is a popular game show. It was popular in the 60s and 70s. There's been a reincarnation of it on now for about 10, 11 years now. And it's Let's Make a Deal. And it's based, the whole show is based on the premise of choice. You have a choice. A contestant gets offered something, and they have the choice to keep what they have or trade it away for the hopes of something bigger and better. That's the whole premise of the show. And the hope is that they'll get something bigger and better, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes they trade for things that are called zonks. The contestant chooses to trade and they lose everything. They get nothing. And so right along those lines in chapter 3 of Genesis tonight, we go with choices. And there are three points to make about this passage as it relates to the choices that we have to make. And I want to read Genesis 3, actually going to go down through the seventh verse. We're going to focus on the first four. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, talking to Eve here, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?' And the woman, Eve, said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths." That's the first seven verses of Genesis chapter 3. Now, like I say, there are three points that we want to get here tonight. And the first being life, whether it be the life you're living now or whether we're talking about salvation and eternal life, life is not let's make a deal. There's no bargaining with God. There's no, God, if you'll get me out of this. And a lot of people are in this situation right now. They're looking at this pandemic. They're looking at sickness. They're looking at unemployment. They're looking at lost wages. They're looking at financial losses. And they're saying, God, if you'll get me out of this, if there's a way that you can get me through this, I'll do this, I'll do that, kind of like a resolution at New Year's. And then we saw this happen after 9/11. They promise that if God will just get us through this, that we'll do this, we'll go to church, and for a little while it worked. They did. But then after a while, they forgot about their bargain and their deal with God. And life is not, let's make a deal. Like I say, there's no bargaining with God. Now, we look in the third chapter of Genesis. The serpent was crafty. And that's important. He wasn't scary. He wasn't frightening to the woman, Eve. He was crafty. And now, if you'll look back to the game show, Let's Make a Deal, they're very clever in the way they present things. They'll start the offer with something really good, usually a small amount of money. I don't know about you, I like to have money in my pocket. If somebody offers it to me, I'm going to take it. But if somebody offers me something better for that money, then I have a decision to make. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Eve had a decision to make here. The serpent was very crafty. And now, sometimes on the show, they'll offer large strips in a small box, or they'll put a little gag gift called a zonk behind a large curtain, and they'll talk up the deal to make it look like it's something that they can't and shouldn't refuse. And such was Satan here, the serpent in Genesis 3. He talked up the deal to Eve. He made it seem like something she could not do without. He said, you'll not surely die. God knows that your eyes will be open. Now, on the show, they don't blatantly lie to their contestants, but they're very crafty in the way that they present a deal. They'll come on, and at the end of the show, they'll have the big deal, and the big deal is usually is worth thousands upon thousands of dollars, but they have to trade away what they already have in hopes of getting something better. And so the serpent does this with Eve. Adam and Eve had everything that God had provided them, and it was perfect. It was sinless. It was a paradise here on earth, except for one term, one thing they could not do. They could not look upon or eat of the tree of knowledge. And Satan used that weakness. That's our human nature, is to always want something better. Whether it be your job, you always want a better job. Nobody has ever been asked, should you be paid more for the work that you do? Nobody's ever said no. Everybody says yes. If the opportunity comes for you to be sweet-talked, as we say, then it's very easy to fall into that temptation. And the serpent was cunning. He crafted his words carefully so that what Eve already had didn't seem good enough. It was that she was tempted to go for something bigger and better, although she had already been provided something great. You see, these contestants on this show, they're standing there holding the money. They're usually holding about $500, $1,000. But they can either choose to keep that, which is good, $500 to $1,000 is good, or they can go for something else which is bigger and better. And that in lies the premise of the show, temptation. And that's what Satan used to for Eve. Now, Eve already knew the terms of the deal. God had said, don't eat of the tree. And she was still unable to make the right choice. Satan used it against her. Did God really say that? Look, you have all of this stuff, but you have all of these things provided for you, but you can have so much more. Just make this deal with me. For he knows you'll be like him. In other words, take the deal, you'll be better for it. The difference here is that Satan lies. He does it in a very crafty way, and this was an absolute lie. Now, point number two here, the choice is ours. The choice is ours to make. whether it be salvation, the choice is ultimately ours. Now, Eve knew what she already had. And she had the choice to stay with that, to keep what God had already provided for her. She knew what she had. And it was good. In fact, it was perfect. But when she was faced with a choice of going for something bigger and better, the tree, it was a temptation and a choice she could not refuse. And the decision on the show is ultimately left to the contestant. The host doesn't force them to make a choice. And God, in your salvation walk, will not force you to make a choice. He says, follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. But he does not force you to make that. You have your free will to make that choice. Such is the way with our lives and with our relationship with God. The choice is ultimately ours. The choice to make. And here's the third and the most important point to in this. Let me first go to Joshua 24:15. The correct choice, if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made the correct choice. But it was a choice. And what he said was here, ultimately you have the choice. You can choose to serve God or you can choose not to serve God. But as for me and my house, I'm going to take and choose to serve God. And a third point of these choices, and the most important point of all three, making the wrong choice will cost you everything. Making the wrong choice on let's make a deal, it leads to a bit of embarrassment. It leads to going away empty-handed. Everybody has a good laugh, and then they go on to the next deal. But not so in our salvation. Not so with our eternal life. There's one choice to make. And if we make the wrong choice, it will cost us everything. And there is no redo. There is no reset button. Eternity is eternity, and you'll spend eternity in one of two places, heaven or hell. It will cost, in our lives, making the wrong decision will cost us much, much more than a little bit of embarrassment and a little bit of laugh. It will cost us eternity. It will cost us separation with God. It will cost us an eternity with God. It will cost us heaven. Eternally separated from God to spend eternity in the torment of hell. And if you don't believe that, I'd like to read from Luke 16:22 through 27. We have an account of two separate people in six verses here in the Gospel of Luke. It says the poor man, the rich man, fared sumptuously and he ate well. And Lazarus was a poor beggar and he came to the rich man's table and he begged just crumbs from the table, and the rich man wouldn't give it to him. He fared sumptuously, and he ate well. And so it came a time that both of these men died, and the poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes, and he saw Abraham far off with Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. Remember the first point we said, there's no bargaining with God. There's no bargaining. The rich man here is in hell and he's trying to make a deal. He's trying to say to Abraham and he's trying to say to Lazarus, he's not saying, get me out of here. He's not saying, completely cure me of the torments of hell. He's just saying, dip your finger in a drop of water and put it on my tongue just for a short moment. And that will be good enough for me. Would you please do that? Would you please? Can we make a deal here? But his fate was already sealed. He'd made his choice a long time ago. I'm in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. Both made a choice. Lazarus made a choice to follow God. The rich man made a choice to deny God. And their fates were sealed, and there were no redos, and there were no additional deals to make, and they didn't come back to him and say, "Would you like to try again?" Their eternity was sealed. And our eternity will be sealed, because it's appointed unto us, every single one of us, to die. And after this, the judgment for the choices that we have made, for the deals that we have tried to make in life. But after that, there is no more. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. There is no deal. Your fate is sealed. Your eternity is sealed. So what's the answer? Well, for those who have accepted Christ as a Savior, you've already won. You're already a winner. Congratulations. You've inherited eternal life. You've made the correct choice to follow God and accept His free pardon of sin for salvation, so that you would inherit eternal life and be made a joint heir with Christ. That's the greatest news, a reward you will ever receive. The Bible says that if only in this life we had hope, we would be most miserable. If the only hope in this life I had was the things that were good in this life, I would be most miserable. I think we're seeing that now. A lot of that. But the greatest news and reward you will ever receive is not in this life, but it's that you've made the decision. You have made the choice to follow God and accept Him and accept His free pardon of sin and accept His salvation. You have inherited, have won a ticket for eternal life in Jesus Christ. Now, for those who have not accepted Christ as their Savior, for those who have chosen to deny Him, for those who have said, "Well, I'll make the deal later," or "I'll agree to the deal later," or "I've still got some time to decide." We're not promised another day. We don't have the promise of tomorrow. God is offering you a choice. Not a deal. He's offering you a choice. There is a choice to be made. There is something that will have to be given up. And that thing that has to be given up is your pride. That thing that has to be given up is your current lifestyle. That thing that has to be given up was Christ's life to pay the ransom for you. Wouldn't it be awesome if one day you tuned in and instead of offering the money to the contestant, and the contestant has to give the money away, and they find out that they've made the wrong choice, that somebody steps up and says, "I'll pay for them. I'll pay whatever it costs for them." That's what Jesus did for us. He paid the price. See, the salvation, there was no price that could be offered for salvation. There's no price that we could pay that would have been great enough to cover our sins. That was a deal that could not be made. But God sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins, to pay the bounty. See, you'll notice on the show that if at first they don't take the deal, that they'll offer them a little more. Can I offer you $1,500 to take the deal? Can I offer you $2,000 to take the deal? Can I offer you $2,500 to take the deal? They'll up the ante a little bit. But you see, with salvation, there's no price that was great enough except for the blood of Jesus Christ. That was the price that was paid, and it was the only price that was great enough to pay for our sins. So God is offering us a choice today. And it's admit, believe, and confess. Our youngest people learned that in our Awana program here, in our children's church, and in our Worm program. Our youngest people learned that. The ABCs of salvation: admit, believe, and confess. Understand that we have a need for a Savior. Recognize that Jesus Christ is our Savior and respond by calling out to Jesus. Make the right choice today. That's Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And I hope you make that choice today. And I hope if you don't make that choice today, that God gives you the opportunity to make that choice. I hope that you don't put it off, that you have the hope that, I'll get another chance. You may not. You may not get another chance. The chance to seal the deal, if you will, may not ever come again. So what's your choice today? Are you going to make the wrong choice? Or are you going to make the right choice? You have a choice today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this devotion. We thank you that you put it in simple terms that even a child can understand. And Lord, we're thankful that you give us a choice whether to belong to you or whether or not to, Lord. But we understand, Lord, that life is not let's make a deal. Life is, that we don't make a deal with you, Lord. We choose to serve you. We choose to follow you, Lord. And I pray that there's no one out there, Lord, that would make the wrong choice and lose everything and be doomed to an eternity of separation from you and torment in the flames of hell tonight, Lord. I would pray that some choices would be made tonight, the right choices would be made tonight, Lord. Lord, remember our loss. Remember the ones that are not with you, not following you, Lord. The ones who don't know you, Lord. The ones who don't know what seems to be a familiar story. Lord, but we know there are some out there who have never heard it. And Lord, we just pray they make the right choice, that you knock upon their heart's door, Lord, and that they choose to have an eternity with you. They choose the greatest reward that they could ever have. We just love you and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. We pray in your name and amen. As we close tonight, we always want to remind you, as Pastor Brian would say. By the way, do remember Pastor Brian in your prayers tonight. He's a little under the weather. But as Pastor Brian would say, no one loves you like Jesus. No one's done more for you than Jesus. And if you'll open your heart to him today, he'll do more than you could ever imagine him to do. Remember our drive-in service at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. If you can't be with us, you can stream that live. You can stream our devotions on Monday at 6 and Friday at 6, and on Wednesday at 7 we also stream our services live. Thank you for joining us on Facebook Live. Thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful and blessed week, and God bless you.